Let's talk some NFL and more. Our good buddy Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. Thank you, as always, Alan, and welcome back to the show. Hello, hello. Alan. There we go.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, now we're good.
Okay. All right, sorry. Hey, first off, thanks for having me back, buddy. Hope you're feeling good, and it's just good to hear your voice.
Hey, I just want to say thank you, by the way, Alan, and you know, you're one of the so many people that reached out last week, and certainly much appreciated. The prayers were welcome, and so far so good, heading in the right direction. But I just want to say thank you personally.
Oh gosh, of course, man. I'm just glad that you're doing good. You're feeling better, and again, man, just happy for that.
Would not want to wish that upon anybody. Worst enemy, whatever. Don't want to wish that upon anybody. You don't. I'll just say it. You don't want to have to go through and experience what I did. So just do everything you can. I stress it all the time. Do everything you can to avoid getting it.
Yeah, I'm just glad you're good, buddy. That's what means the world to me, man.
All right, so let's start with yesterday here in Nashville. Two unbeaten teams, and you know, it looked like all Pittsburgh through the first three quarters. They get up to the 27-7 lead. Ben Roethlisberger just looking magical, especially as the Steelers were looking to run away with this game. And then for the second straight week, the Titans with the nice comeback, and unfortunately for them, I mean, they had the opportunity there to send the game into overtime, but a makeable field goal missed, and so the Titans fall for the first time this year.
They did. So, you know, I got a couple thoughts on this game. First off, you know, great comeback. You know, obviously, you know, to see what the Titans did offensively and defensively in the second half, and you know, to have a chance to tie that thing up, you know, go to overtime, that was a great second-half performance. Here's the thing. The Titans got themselves a good test, and that's really all this game is, was a good test. You know, it's not going to hurt them in the division or anything like that. But you got to see, you know, kind of where your deficiencies are, and you got to see what, you know, another Super Bowl contender-type team looks like. And I think the Titans can learn a lot from this game. You know, and here's the other thing about Pittsburgh. They are good. I mean, don't be wrong. The defense, you know, we've talked about it, of how good they are. That offense is so much better than people give them credit for. They're just overshadowed by a really good defense. But they're diverse. I think there were 10 or 11, you know, different players that had touches in some way. Ben Roethlisberger gets rid of the ball extremely quick. It's some of the fastest I've ever seen him operate. So you really can't get after him, you know, as a defensive line, and they kind of take blitzing away from you. This is a really good Pittsburgh team, and I can't wait to see them this Sunday against the Ravens.
You know, as one of the things, too, and, you know, and several players echoed this thought about the Titans yesterday, the fact that in so many ways, maybe it is a good thing that they suffered the loss because they were, you know, because of the fact that they kept getting W's, it was kind of like maybe overshadowing things that they certainly needed to improve upon. And so by suffering the loss now, is now you have the sense of urgency to get these things corrected as the season marches on.
Oh, definitely. You know, and for, you know, a coaching staff, and Johnny, you've been around football your whole life, you know this better than anybody. You know, coaches, they don't want to lose, but they don't mind taking a loss and using it, you know, on the team to say, hey, are you listening to what we've been telling you, you know, in terms of the secondary, in terms of third downs, in terms of, you know, field goal kicking, in terms of the entire team. Let me say this. The Titans were due a loss at some point just because of these factors. You can't let teams, you know, get up early on you. You can't give away points in the kicking game. You know, they've been leaving 3, 6, 9 points on the field, you know, seemingly every week. And in the NFL, I mean, 6 points or less, that's almost 40% of every, you know, statistical probability of a finish. You just can't do it, you know. So it's not much more than just a loss to a really good team, and you've got the ability now to get better, you know, in areas that you need to. So, you know, again, it's not anything that'll necessarily hurt this team moving forward. Can't be a good learning opportunity.
Some of the other things that stood out yesterday, I really got into the Cleveland Browns Cincinnati game of all things, and just watching, you know, if here's the thing, if the Bengals front office can give him additional weapons with, as far as Joe Burrow is concerned. I look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I look at what a bright future Justin Herbert has and what he was doing with the Chargers yesterday, and looking forward to seeing exactly what these two guys are going to look like if they can get the necessary weapons to keep improving as a team.
Oh, absolutely, and especially with the Bengals. I mean, you know, the Chargers, you know, they certainly, you know, they need some help, but they're a much better roster, you know, than Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is out there essentially doing it by himself. He didn't even have Joe Mixon out there with him yesterday. And you know, here's a note to Titans fans, you know, about this upcoming game, you know, for the Titans in Cincinnati. I've watched every Bengals game this year. Look out. This team is better than you think, and they put up points. You know, Burrow, you know, he throws the ball 50 to 55 times a game. He lets it rip. And for a team that has some secondary issues, you better be prepared because this team brings it. And I'm with you. You know, these young quarterbacks, I mean, Burrow's been fantastic. Justin Herbert's been fantastic. Look around the league. Like, the youth movement is here. Those two, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. I mean, keep going down the list. Now, there's so many good quarterbacks, you know, that are 25 years or younger. You know, these guys are ready to come in and play now. That's why, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, get his first start this coming week. It's a youth movement in the NFL for sure.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Tua Tagovailoa there, getting his start with the Dolphins, because Zach and I were talking about this last hour, and, you know, you look at the NFC East, a division that could be won by any of those four teams. And the fact that although the Cowboys, three games under 500, they're only a half game out of first place behind the Eagles. And he was suggesting that, you know, maybe the Cowboys go out and find a way to lure Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins, and adding him to their roster, meaning the Cowboys adding him to their roster, because, you know, why not? It's not like you fear the Eagles or Washington or the Giants for that matter. Somebody's got to win the division. Why not give yourself a better opportunity to win it?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting idea. And, you know, they could get him for, you know, pretty cheap. That I haven't thought about that, but that's a good call because, you know, like you said, the NFC East is up there to grab, especially, you know, for a new head coach. You know, and Mike McCarthy, I mean, he's looking for any kind of spark whatsoever. It's getting rough for them over there. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about that, but that's a good idea.
Here's the other part, though, and, you know, we talk about the importance of certain players. Dak Prescott, he meant everything. He, you know, there's no doubt about that he is the heart and soul of that Cowboys team. And when he went down with the season-ending injury, you just look at the Cowboys and they're just a lost fish there swimming in a fishbowl, you know, taking a little song there from Pink Floyd. And, you know, and it's interesting that the impact of one player can have, but, you know, it just really shows you why he was probably worth the $40 million a year to that particular team, because he really is the heart and soul of the Cowboys.
Yeah, oh, he absolutely is. And you know, not only the heart and soul of that team, he was the best player on that team by far. Look at what he was masking in terms of the issues that team has. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, obviously, you know, he couldn't fix the defense, but he could sure put up points. And now that they're not putting up any points, I mean, this team, I mean, they're a disaster. I mean, they essentially flew to Washington yesterday to kick a field goal, and that was it. Like, I mean, it's just, it's bad over there. And, you know, what concerns me the most with Dallas is there's a disconnect between this coaching staff and the players, and you can see it, you can hear it, you can read it, you can feel it. There's something wrong here, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, it's odd that Dak Prescott, his greatest contract leverage is going to come this year in a season where he doesn't play, because now Jerry Jones can see, buddy, you guys were arguing about $1, $2, $3 million on the fifth year of a deal. Don't really think that that's too much. You know, that wasn't too big of an issue. You probably should have just gotten the guy. They got problems over there, big ones.
How is it possible that the Dallas Cowboys have the very worst defense in the league?
I don't know. I mean, I know that team has had a ton of injuries. They've got depth issues, but, you know, a lot of the injuries have been, you know, on the offensive side. It's bad. And you look at, you know, Mike Nolan, who, you know, the defensive coordinator, who's obviously, you know, Mike McCarthy's guy. You know, we've seen this out of him in San Francisco, and it's just, it's horrific. I mean, it's just so bad. They're putting up stats and numbers that literally, Johnny, have never been seen before in the NFL. They're averaging, you know, giving up more points in the first half of games through 5-6 games than like 12 teams in the NFL give up in entire games. It's just, it's horrific, and it's going to continue to get worse. There's nothing that says that this is going to get better because players are going to, you know, kind of mentally check out, you know, week after week. It's already started.
We look at some of the other things that stood out as far as yesterday. From your standpoint, what caught your eye?
Well, you know, first off, the Tampa Bay Bucs are pretty good. And, you know, what they do, obviously, you know, all the focus, kind of what we talked about with Pittsburgh, except on the opposite side, all their focus is on Tom Brady and the offense. And don't get me wrong, you know, obviously, you know, it should be. But they might have the best defense in the NFL. I mean, they are incredibly efficient with what they do. They're the only team in the NFL that allows less than 3 yards a carry for the opposing team on the ground. So, I mean, that was a big one, you know, to take notice of. They're just a really, really good football team. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we talked about that. They're a fantastic team. The Buffalo Bills, obviously, they won, you know, against the Jets, but there are issues with this team. They can't run the ball. They can't score. I don't know what has happened, but in the last 3 weeks, I mean, they are giving up monstrous numbers. Obviously, they didn't do too much, you know, give too much against the Jets because it's kind of anemic, but still, there's some issues there with that team. The Green Bay Packers quietly handled business. Looks like they've gotten themselves back, you know, kind of into shape. And then the last one, the New England Patriots. They are so devoid of talent and any offensive weapon whatsoever. Think about this. Cam Newton is their leading passer. Cam Newton is their leading rusher. And Cam Newton has more receiving yards than three other Patriots wide receivers this season. And he might get benched. Like, he's literally all they have, and he might not even be good enough to start. It is amazing how fast that team has fallen. And you know what? I kind of understand Tom Brady now saying, you know what, I was getting a little tired of being chewed out in the locker room. I was hiding a lot of problems on this team. And you know what? You guys can have it. I'm going to go down here and win in Tampa. Do what you do. New England has fallen off quickly.
Yeah, there's their first three-game losing streak in the regular season. You have to go back to 2002. That was a season that the Patriots end up with a four-game losing streak. They finish the season 9-7 and don't make the playoffs. But don't feel too sorry for them. They went on to win the next two Super Bowls, so 3 out of 4 years. But how about Tampa Bay? You know, they keep getting richer. You know, they added Leonard Fournette, who led them yesterday as far as with the run attack. He carried 11 times for 50 yards, also caught 6 passes out of the backfield. But you got Chris Godwin. You got Rob Gronkowski. You got Mike Evans. You've got a Scotty Miller. And, oh, by the way, it looks like they're adding Antonio Brown, too.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, again, I don't know if I would want to add Antonio Brown to my locker room. And I don't, you know, we don't even know how many games this guy, you know, will even play. But his talent is undeniable. And you add it to what you just went down, you listed those weapons that they have. This is a really, really good football team. And Rob Gronkowski, you know, 2 weeks ago, literally, I was watching him. I was like, this looks like my grandfather running around. Like, he didn't even look like, you know, an NFL player. But every week he is taking massive strides toward getting back to what he used to be. And the good thing for him is that they don't need him, you know, to be a number one weapon, which is really good, you know, in terms of him getting his body back, getting his feet under him. Because when he's not needed and you're looking at him, you know, with a second, third, fourth defender, he's going to tear you up because he's just so big and so good. This team, for real, is built. They're a good football team.
How fun is it this year when you look at the AFC and the NFC? Usually by this point, it looks like there's a team that emerges, maybe a couple that you can go, oh, by far, they're the class of the NFC or the class of the AFC. We don't have that this year. This year it seems like, whatever week you check, it could be a different answer to that question, whether like in the NFC. It could be Seattle. Don't sleepwalk on Arizona. We mentioned Tampa Bay. They're still the Saints. Chicago to me, and I'm just not buying into their 5-1 record, but I'm buying into the Green Bay Packers. Really, the only team that would be in the playoffs that I don't really have a lot of faith in would be whoever ends up winning the NFC East as far as on the NFC side of things.
Yeah, you're right. And that's an interesting take because, I mean, you're correct in saying that. It seems, 3 weeks ago we were talking about, okay, well, it looks like the Chiefs are going to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. And not that, they're not going to compete for it. But, we've seen a couple weeks now where the Chiefs look beatable. You're going to have to bring an A game. But, they're not, just this juggernaut that is just completely unstoppable. We've seen some issues with Seattle. Russell Wilson's having an MVP season. But their defense has given up more pass yards, than any other team in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, look like they turned it around, but they've got some issues. I mean, you're right. Like, there is, not that one team week after week after week where you say, all right, this is clearly the class of it, and I think it's going to stay that way the rest of the year. It's good. There's some parity in there. The Steelers-Ravens, obviously, that's a big one this week. But again, whoever wins that, that doesn't even mean that team's going to win that division. This is going to be a really fun NFL season. We haven't seen anything like this in a while, and I'm enjoying it. Every week is almost kind of like a surprise. Same thing with college, too. This year is truly week-to-week leagues, both in college and the NFL.
I mean, right now, how would you rank them 1, 2, and 3, the best teams in the AFC?
I'd put Pittsburgh 1. I'd put Kansas City 2, and I'd probably put Baltimore 3. Tennessee's in there, probably a close 4. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to do it, I'd probably say Steelers, Chiefs, Ravens. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's, for me, I still like Pittsburgh mainly because of their defense, although Baltimore has allowed fewer points than even Pittsburgh's allowed.
Yep, they have. And you know what? And Baltimore scores faster. Like, this could be for the Steelers how they jumped up big on the Titans and then the Titans kind of came back. This could be an opposite game for them. Baltimore could put up 14, 21 points on you in the first quarter quick, but they can also give up points later in the game. So I'm with you. Those two teams are hard to distinguish between which one's better. I guess we're going to find out.
How strange is it that the Tennessee Titans have actually outscored the Baltimore Ravens this year?
It's incredible. Like, that's the thing is that, this Titans team, it's just remarkable of how good and efficient this offense is, especially in the second half. And especially in the fourth quarter, I mean, when pressure is on, Ryan Tannehill plays at his best. And, we didn't even see too terribly much of Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, it's just incredible what they're getting done in the air. This team puts up points. Hey, here's a stat for you. Since 2019, there are two players that lead the NFL with the most 50-plus yard touchdowns. They both have 5, okay? It's Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, it's incredible what they can do. It really is.
And watching Brown, when he breaks away, I mean, that was a thing of beauty yesterday when he split the two cornerbacks going downfield or one of the safeties. I mean, that was just a beautiful thing, and we've seen it time and time again. I was saying this last hour, with DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown, I'm still shocked that Ole Miss did not win more football games.
I know. Like, what in the world was happening over there? These two guys are incredible. DK Metcalf was running like a cheetah last night. Buda Baker. I mean, these two guys are incredible.
Hey, always a pleasure. Alan, remind everybody again what they can expect when they go to sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. So, if you're into the wagering aspect of games, if you're into fantasy, DFS, or even just want to look, at some analytical stats behind the scenes, Sportsline, we have you covered. We're going for, Monday Night Football tonight, the World Series tomorrow. We've got all the leagues and everything ready for College Football Week 9, NFL Week 8. So go to sportsline.com, click around, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later in the week, but until then, have a wonderful Monday night.
You too, buddy. Continue to feel safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you again.